A meme is out there on the internet with the statement, God is good. Therefore, I do good through his power. Its reference is to the middle verse of the following complete thought found in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 2. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. And then it finishes out in verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We've all seen news interviews, you know, of victorious athletes or heard valedictorians at a high school graduation, or we've heard acceptance speeches for awards of various kinds. And that person who received these things or was doing these things would oftentimes devote part of their communication to us to acknowledge another person or a group of people in their life who helped them to succeed. We might have even heard statements like, I couldn't have done this without you, or you are my rock, or thanks for believing in me. We all know that the person sharing the credit, or even giving all of the credit to someone else, that person was actually the one who made the achievement in these cases. Mom wasn't on the tennis court when they won the match, for instance. Okay, the favorite teacher did not force them to make good grades and be an active school participant. Their mentor wasn't in the lab with them making the great discovery. But these were people that they credited for helping them to be where they were. Nevertheless, these people of success took time to give various forms of credit, even all the credit. Of course, that's an act of humility, really. You can't give somebody all the credit when you just won the tennis match, to one or more people. What they did was appropriate. It was noteworthy and provides at least the appearance of humility and sound character. Surely you've had at least one person in your life who you believe helped you to achieve a goal or certain character qualities, and you've likely even spoken of or written about them. You didn't just keep it to yourself, you shared it. Meanwhile, they didn't do the achievement, whatever you're doing, you did. But how do we acknowledge God when it comes to successful Christian behavior? I'm not talking about making the basket on the basketball court. I'm talking about successful Christian behavior. Do we follow the same logic? And if we do, should we? Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We'll start reading in verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, their attitudes of obedience, not just for appearances, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. For it is God who works in you both, two things, to will, to desire and to say, I'm going to do this, and then actually do it. It's God who does that. So now let's turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. And we're going to go to chapter 2, towards the beginning. Starting in verse 9. Obviously, I'm emphasizing certain phrases in these scriptures. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So as human beings, we know what it means to be human, right? We're not dogs, we're not apes, we're not snakes. Well, we might act like one sometimes. We are human. We have a human spirit. It has certain powers and capabilities compared to the rest of the animal kingdom. Well, God has a spirit, and it is God's way of thinking. God's power, God's love, and that is what is being shared with you and me. Let's turn to another scripture. Go back to Philippians, and we'll go to chapter 1 this time. Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, Paul writes, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you, all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Once we are converted, it's not that we do good and give God the credit. It's that God does the good through us, and he is the credit. We just went through those three scriptures. We could summarize them as, one, God works in us to will and to do. Okay, number two, we only know godliness by the Spirit of God. Right? Anybody can read the Word. Plenty of people have read the Word in the world, and it's all correct, and it all is godliness. But to understand it is something God has to give us by his Holy Spirit. And number three, God is the one who completes the work that he began in us. Those three things. Okay, but this is not some sort of chimera formed between God's spirit and the human spirit. It's not too unique. This ancient god of Greece called the Chimera was three different creatures in one, not melded into one different hybrid. One part of the body was a lion, the other part was a goat, and the tail was a serpent or something like that. Right, and we've got examples in Scripture, the beast power and this creature that's all different parts. That's like a chimera. Well, this isn't a chimera formed between God's spirit and the human spirit. It's instead a realization that should cause us to submit our human spirit to God's spirit, godliness, to God's way. We still are participating. Right? We're participating. We have to choose to obey. So instead, there is a process of transformation going from carnal and natural towards spiritual. So God is going through this process with us that changes us over time. And when Jesus returns, boom, he will complete it. Okay? But why would I bring all this up? Where am I going? We are taught to do what is right. We have teachers left and right. We're blessed with elders, with other teachers in the church. Some are writing articles, right? We have a Beyond Today program. All excellent forms of instruction. But we're human, and we cover a topic, and we may not be able to completely cover the topic, right? Or we can forget something that would have been helpful in the topic, or we only have half a page of space for our article. You see where I'm going? We've only got so many minutes we're allowed to speak. So you are limited in how complete you can be with every discussion you have. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4, and we'll look at it real quick, just a page over or so. For example, this one reads, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Now, I've heard this all my life. And many times I'd say, boy, I need to try harder to do this or that. Or I'm better at this one, but boy, this other one, man, I really got to work on it. And there's nothing wrong with that, except based on what I just talked to you about, where God is involved, maybe it would have been better for me to instead, when I think, well, I'm kind of running short on something, talk to God and say, help me. Work in me. Because, see, none of that is hard for God. There's not one bit of that discussion that's difficult for God. And guess what's in you? God's Holy Spirit, and God then uses his will to help your will and you to do. Okay, you know, see what I'm saying? So yeah, I can actually be concerned or worried. I'm not measuring up. I can, maybe I've got difficulty with one and I'm struggling with it. And so another way I might deal with it is I justify or compare myself to other people or do even worse. You know, I can do all these things and I'm not focused correctly. My focus should be, God, use your spirit in me. That's a lot of our prayer should be about God working in us to help us to become like him. Because without that spirit, we just won't do it. We won't have it properly in our heads, in our minds, in our hearts. And even if our actions look right, it won't be from God. We have to turn to God to do these things in us. You know, we had, I'm actually winding this down now, a couple weeks ago, we had a great message from our own pastor. And one of the scriptures he used was Galatians chapter 5, and verse 22 and 23. At least I think he did. I know he did. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." Now again, he was talking to us about this job we have, as it were. We've got the symbolism that comes from the spring holy days, which teaches us the process of Jesus' sacrifice for us, of salvation, of forgiveness, right? And then you go through the process of being led out of sin, okay? And then there's the fall holy days, which are like these great prophecies about God being with us and man being changed. Okay, but there's that gap, right? And he brought all that up so well how that there's this gap where there's this Christian community. What do we do? This time period, what is our job? And he talked about producing fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. And so what I wanted to do today was really emphasize this. We need to understand that it is God in us. We don't do it. Yes, we have to follow and we have to make the choice, but it is only God working in us and changing us that helps us to really do these. And we can do every single one of them. Not because of us, but because of God's Holy Spirit that can work in us to have the right godly attitude about these actions. You see, God doesn't just deserve the credit in matters of spiritual behavior. Instead, ending with my title, God is the credit.